The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. We're on Man in Line, open line today through until 1 o'clock. So the floor is yours. Whatever you want to talk about, by all means, do get in touch. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Man in Line gets lots of messages, and I don't often get the chance to read all the messages out, so some of the leftover from yesterday. From H in Onken, who just said, due to a change in circumstances, my wife and I inquired about changing our foot passenger return steam packet sailing yesterday on the 11:15 sailing to the later 19:15 sailing. We were told that we could alter the sailing, but there would be a charge of £100 to change the sailing. I don't know how they can justify such a charge for a couple of foot passengers, and I just wonder whether or not anybody else has any experience of that sort of stuff. Is it common for that much? I mean, it didn't used to be that much. It used to be quite routine to change stuff, but maybe it's fallen into a different charging band. But if you've come across that before, then do let me know. And James said, James 447, a lot of government departments are skeleton staff or closed on a Friday afternoon because they're on flexi hours and perhaps like a long weekend off. Try getting through to patient transfer on a Friday afternoon when you're at a UK hospital. It is a nightmare, says James. Darren said, Rob Callister and the government HR seem to have employed somebody who didn't get a proper check for Visit Isle of Man. Now, if they don't do proper checks, how can they expect small businesses to achieve checks like this? I'd like to say a massive well done, says Ali. Massive well done to the Southern Hundred Club for such a brilliant meeting last week. The amount of visitors I spoke to said they'd definitely be back next year. Well, the weather helped, didn't it? Apart from the first day. I also heard lots of fans saying that they'd never go to the TT again. They can do the tourist bits during the day, Monday to Wednesday, with the Southern Hundred, and watch the bikes at night, and then a full day on Thursday with a fantastic evening in the square. They also commented that they during Southern Hundred, you don't get ripped off with TT prices. That's Ali's point of view. Any thoughts on that? And regarding cruise, we've had comment about cruise liners. It seems to divide opinion. We get quite a lot of cruise liners coming, not as much as other places, but a lot more than we ever used to. And cruise liners bring money in, but lots of people say, you know, they don't spend money in restaurants and cafes because you can get it free of charge on the boat. So where does the money actually go to? Gary said, as an example, just look at the itinerary for the Azamara journey, which visit the Isle of Man at the end of August this year. For the itinerary, there's a mention of the horse tram rides along the beautiful Douglas seafront, the halfway horse tram rides, perhaps. There's a mention of heritage rail trips, a trip to the Fonodry Distillery, and the TT trike tours. Are they all still on? No mention of trips to the House of Mananin, to the Gaiety Theatre, or other sites. This was a point that was made about a cruise liner coming in at the weekend and tourists standing in front of the Gaiety Theatre, taking photos, trying the door, and couldn't get in. And 557 says the Queen's Pier volunteers. It's a lady called yesterday about the Queen's Pier. Marvellous people, the Queen's Pier volunteers. We wouldn't have a pier left if it was left to the government, says John. Well, didn't the government a few years ago, well, I say a few years ago, 20 plus years ago, looked at how much it would cost to actually dismantle the Queen's Pier? Because the Victorians absolutely over-engineered everything, it would have been enormously expensive to actually dismantle the Queen's Pier. So, luckily, onward ever onward with the Queen's Pier Preservation Trust. However, the cost continues to rise. We've done broadcasts from the Queen's Pier, and it's beautiful. It is fantastic, because it isn't your traditional pier. It's not a traditional seaside pier with a theatre and amusements and what have you on. It was obviously the pier that led out to the berthing port, if you like, for the Erdrossan boats. But it is a long pier, and when it's done, everybody will be up and down it, particularly at night time with the lights on it. I wonder if it'll have festoon lights. Sue said, just regarding cruise ships, people on cruise ships won't spend a penny when they call into places like the Isle of Man, as they can have tea and coffee free on board. So a couple were saying when they stopped off a coach at Port Erin, says Sue. So what do they spend their money on? They don't just come off to stretch their legs, surely. Can anybody explain why you can have a fridge picked up, sent back and recycled to the UK by Currys for £25, but the same fridge, if you drop it off yourself at the tip, costs £80. Oh, and more if it's bigger, Dick. Again, there was the comment made, I got a note in a few weeks ago about the fact that if you buy a white good, if you like, in the EU, included in the price is the recycling of it, and there's just a code on it, and any retailer will take it back because it's been paid. Now, presumably, we've paid that, and yet there's no mechanism whereby the retailers here are allowed to do that, or is that perhaps what Currys are doing? Where the tourists are concerned, this is 963, where the tourists are concerned, it's a dying trade unless we're prepared to offer more than historical sites. As for hospitality and entertainment, for people complaining, ask them to give up their precious free time to staff the small businesses. And as customers, be asked to pay extra to cover costs along with being paid minimum wage. Thank you, 963. Well, it's an often mentioned thing, isn't it? There needs to be more on the Isle of Man. But if you turn it round, do 180-degree thinking and say, well, you do it. If you want more entertainment, you organise it and everybody else will come and you can give up your free time. Then, of course, it's a different thing. I find it strange, says Alan, 867, that the government can waste millions on wind farm surveys, yet penny pinch on footpaths, which bring in millions. Again, this thought about £30,000 a week, £1.5 million a year, to make sure our footpaths are as they should be. Which, of course, they aren't. And yet, we advertise walking holidays. In the ancient capital of man, the castle town, residents are once again being asked what they think is the best way to make their community prosperous. And it's centred, as it has been in the past, on the provision of parking and the closure of Market Square to vehicles. After a presentation this week, a consultation's now out for you people, the public in the south, to share their thoughts on what would lift the town. Here's coffee shop owner Alan Leonard and chair of Castle Town Commissioners Tony Brown.
I think it's a good compromise. Instead of shutting it for the whole 12 months, it's the dates have got to be finalised, really, which I think is in a report that's coming out today, the public report for them.
Has the lack of parking affected your business, you think?
Definitely in the winter when the square is closed. It's raining today. So, you know, people aren't going to walk around. You know, they want somewhere to park, nick closer, especially the elderly. They need to be closer into the town centre. That has affected a lot of businesses in town.
Well, we want a permit in terms of a delegation from the minister. That's one of our proposals in relation to, if we get what we are proposing put in place, to give the commissioners the ability on odd occasions, special occasions, during what we call the winter months, to close the whole area off, which actually is only where the car parking is. When it was designed, the Market Square, redesigned and redeveloped a few years ago, they specifically designated a parking area for the winter period, which consists of 17 parking spaces, two of which are for disabled, which are the closest to the town shops. When the square has been totally closed off, of course, we haven't been able to use that. Arbury Street in Maloo Street, the pedestrianised areas, in other words, where the shops are, they're already pedestrianised 24/7. And the problem we have there is not effectively managed, and we're going to do that, whatever happens. There've always been sort of barriers, but when they go faulty, they don't get repaired.
These are the bollards that used to come up and go down. Now and they just go down and stay.
And they've just been a nightmare. So basically what we're doing is saying that we will use some sort of physical barrier that's easy for, like, for example, emergency service to move them to one side.
So it opened yesterday, this public consultation. It's a document setting out the Commissioner's proposals for restricting vehicles into Castletown Market Square. Now you can obtain copies of the Commissioner's consultation document, which provides details of the proposals. Get it from the Town Hall in Castletown. The document, for which there is no charge, is also published on the Commissioner's website with a link on the Commissioner's Facebook page as well. Now the consultation runs for 6 weeks from yesterday through to 5 o'clock Tuesday, 26th of August. You can write your comments to the commissioners at the Town Hall Castletown, or email any comments to the commissioners at ctms@castletown.gov.im. And they encourage you to consider the proposal set out in their public consultation document and would like comments from you. It is always a vexed question, isn't it, as to whether or not the cars should be allowed in Castletown Square, and particularly if you did used to park there and couldn't because it was pedestrianised, or if you like it pedestrianised, they'd like your input as to... Anyway, you heard Alan Leonard from the coffee shop and the chair of Castletown Commissioners, Tony Brown. Now, basically, the main points of the proposal are to define a visitor season from being May to September, and a winter season from September to May, and Easter period being the Thursday before Good Friday to the Tuesday following Easter Monday. So it will be a compromise. But having said that, now Castletown, it's fair to say, is not what it used to be. There used to be three banks in Castletown, and that was a big reason that people used to often stop at the square, popping into the bank. And when he popped into the bank, he'd often sometimes pop into the other shops, into the bakery, into the co-op, into the gift shops, into what used to be ShopRite. So what can be done for Castletown? If you've got the answer, I'm sure they'd love to hear it. But the consultation's open until 26th of August. Regarding comments about the expense of pet care, says 768, you have to remember that pet care is the equivalent of private health care for people paying to be treated by specialists, so it's not going to be cheap. And that's H. It did used to be relatively cheap, didn't it, vets? But now times have changed. Maybe it's something to do with pet insurance. Who knows? Well done to Michael for speaking about the trees. Michael called in yesterday and gave us his story about this rogue monkey puzzle tree that he can't get rid of because DEFA won't let him get rid of it, but he's pulling up his driveway and other things. A new law's needed, says 382, that trees can't be planted within 500 yards of a property or a road. All trees on the Peel Road need to be removed and small hedges put in their place across the Isle of Man. Road trees are going to kill somebody walking or in a vehicle. We can be the new driving force to make big trees banned, says 382. My heart goes out to that gentleman, says Sue. My husband's been going through the same medical treatment as well, so I can't imagine what he's going through. Obviously, Michael is battling the government regarding this tree and battling his own ill health at the moment. H said, I totally agree that forest-sized trees shouldn't be planted in residential estates near houses. They might look nice as saplings, but they grow huge and they need space to grow and to spread. The roots can damage infrastructure. They drop debris and could fall on houses and cars. Farm Hill is an example of this. When estates are built, it surely would be more eco-friendly and kinder to the trees to plant small flowering shrubs. I love trees, but I think planting them on housing estates should be banned. Poor Michael, I do hope somebody can help. If you live on a housing estate with trees. I just wonder what you think. I mean, treat everybody by common consent. Trees are fantastic, aren't they? And they're great to look at. They smell lovely. They keep the environment moving in any particular area. They give shade in the heat, in the sunshine. They give shelter in the rain. They provide oxygen. They take in CO2. They're great. However, that's unless you've got one towering over your property. And thank you, Si, for... Si proposed something a little more unorthodox in getting rid of the tree, which I don't endorse. And so did 313, who just said, you should just cut the tree down. Getting a fine would be better than what Michael's contemplated. DEFA would not look good putting a sick man into prison for non-payment of a fine, says G. And here's a message in regarding... the Peel Health Centre. Has anybody had problems trying to contact Peel Health Centre? I've tried to call them three times today and they say they're too busy to answer the phone. Can they put some of that £15 million and get somebody to answer the phone, says John. Is anybody else having problems getting through to Peel Medical Centre? Manxcare said they've saved money but they want £15 million. Manxcare should stop double talking. I think they're out of control. Well, certainly, I mean, the politicians, I don't know whether you heard the debate earlier on this week, but the politicians kept saying, this has been going on for years. This has been going on for years. This has been going on for years. Neatly avoiding the fact that the politicians have been doing this for years. And still, we get to the issue where, and remember, we have a nationalised health service. It is a kind of national, nationally owned industry, for which demand is technically, I would say, unlimited. Everybody wants healthcare when they want it. Everybody wants the most expensive drugs. Everybody wants it. And somebody somewhere has to decide to give somebody the bad news. Who's going to do it? Would you be the brave politician that would do that? The scenic Ramsey to St John's footpath on the railway has been improved. Well done, DOI. But there are some sections which require clearer signage where there were level crossings, says John. And we're spotting bad footpaths. And apparently there are quite a lot of them. Here's Ken with us now. Hi, Ken.
Afternoon to you. I was just wondering, I don't listen to the programme every day. Has anybody heard what's happened, what were the results of the National Health Service levy consultation? Because it closed about a month ago. And I've looked on the site, I can't see any results and etc.
No, I just wonder whether anybody else has heard that.
I'm just wondering, I don't think it was mentioned in Tynwald, you know, when they go for their summer recess, because I listened to an hour of somebody just giving excuses about trying to pass the book about responsibility for employing somebody. But the levy.
Yeah. But the thing is, Ken, I mean, in the end, they can talk about it all they want and we can talk about it all they want. In the end, it's about money, Ken, isn't it?
Well, it is. So just keep the 2% on income tax.
You think so?
Well, yes. You know, unless they're going to contrive some way of getting a levy paid by people. If you take the people that paid it $220,000 a year, which was only about 20, without declaring how much they actually earn, how are you going to find out how much they actually earn?
Oh, you mean this is the tax cap you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the tax... I think they're saying there are 61 high-net-worth individuals on the Isle of Man who use the tax app in this financial year. 61.
Yes. So and it used to be over 100.
Yeah, 61...
When it was 100,000.
61 times 200 is what? Is that 12 million?
Yes.
And that's £12 million. So that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Yes, I know, but the 2% levy, if you put in, will be based on their actual big earnings.
Right.
Not and you, people will then leave because they say, no, no.
Well, that's the whole issue. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are 61 people who take advantage of the tax cap and raise, again, roughly £12 million, give or take. And if you get used to using that £12 million and suddenly 10 of them scarper, what do you do?
Well, it's a case of diminishing returns, no tax. You can put tax up, but people leave. You know, any tax, diminishing returns, you get to a point where you actually get less, even though you put taxes up.
So, Ken, what do we do?
Well, just, as I say, put 22%. Keep it at 22%. I know he dug himself a hole, the Treasury Minister, saying it's only a temporary measure.
Yeah.
So to try and keep his word, they've just obviously nobody's. It's been a month, but nobody seems to have come out. And yes, it's going to be, if it comes in at all, which I'm dead against, which is going to be in 27. So it'll be a new bunch we elect. And those, what's the other thing is, what's this new English people company going to investigate to do with the health service? They've voted to last year, but they've got round to employing an outside agency to look at something to do with the health service.
Well, you just wonder why we seem to have endless consultations, and it's always it's a company from off the Isle of Man trying to tell us what to do. And remember, it was the Sir Jonathan Michaels report that said we should have Manx Care.
Yeah, I do wonder about that.
All right. Okay, Ken. Right, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling us today. Well, I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this, the tax cap. There have been calls for the tax cap for wealthy Isle of Man residents to be scrapped. But there are fears that entrepreneurs would just basically restructure their financial affairs or just move elsewhere if the tax cap were removed. A former government minister's calling for the tax cap for wealthy residents to be scrapped. The tax cap was introduced in 2006 as part of the then government's policy to attract wealthy entrepreneurs to the Isle of Man. Now, over the years, it's risen from the original £100,000 for an individual to £200,000 for the current financial year. Basically, you pay £200,000 tax no matter what you earn. There are 61 high net worth individuals who've elected to use the tax cap in the current financial year. Now, do we gamble on putting that up, or do we put tax up? Because at some point, somebody's got to grouse the nettle regarding Manx Care or DHSC. At some point, we've got to say, we're going to invest in this. And keep on kind of running round and saying, it's going to be this, no, it's not, yes, it is, no, it isn't. Where does that leave us in the end? If you can solve this, then I'll give you a man-in-line tea towel. It's worth that much. Regarding Michael and his tree, says Jude in Colby, I wonder if he could try contacting his MHK. That's what I'd do. He didn't mention that and said it didn't really go anywhere. And go to DEFA and see how many trees they've dropped at South Barool, says 382. Well, that's the thing with plantations. They are meant to be cut down at 30 years and that's it. They're chopped. So plantations aren't meant to be there forever, as you see by the bare patches here, there and everywhere. The rewilding in Douglas looks great, says Mark. It's more natural, it's better for biodiversity, saves money on unnecessary maintenance. There are no downsides, says 179 Mark. But it does look scruffy, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Would you like a perfectly manicured lawn or would you like a meadow? I mean, in the middle of a town. What do you think looks better? Regarding Michael and the tree, says David, I've had a similar problem and told the tree was healthy, but it was damaging my property and DEFA would not issue a licence to fell the tree. So I asked them to issue a letter of comfort stating default would be my responsibility for any damage that the tree caused. 2 days later, they issued a licence, says David.
Welcome to the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Millichaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
On the 10th of September, the Villa Gaiety is going back to Bacharach. A dazzling tribute to the 20th century's best love songwriter. Fall in love again with the timeless music of Burt Bacharach and experience his greatest musical masterpieces performed live by incredible West End vocalists and the sensational Magic Moments Orchestra. Make sure you don't miss out. Book your tickets online now at villagaiety.com. Back to Bacharach at the Villa Gaiety. Brought to you by Mowgli Events.
The 2025 Ireland Games.
I came into the Games with just no expectations, just giving it everything I've got, and it's been brilliant so far.
Seeing all of the teams coming out, you know, and everybody's so excited and so happy to be here.
Manx Radio is bringing you all the action from Orkney. So if you're following Team Isle of Man at this year's Ireland Games, make sure to head on over to our dedicated Ireland Games live blog at manxradio.com throughout this week. And don't forget, we also have all the latest interviews and important updates on the Manx Radio Sports Hub. Also, at manxradio.com, your nation station, the home of the 2025 Ireland Games.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
And I have to say that Sports Hub, the live blog, is absolutely fantastic. I think Rob Pritchard must be getting some sleep. I just can't figure out when it is. There was an update this morning about the team of Charles Foster, Alex Turnbull, Joel Watterson and Zach Bellhouse, who finished second in their men's 4x100 medley heat in 3 minutes 50.1. Photos, live blog and everything. Go to manxradio.com for all the information about the Ireland Games. Another note in that just said, yes, sorry to point this out. This is Lenny who says, Andy, a plantation is a crop. It is not a forest. The plantations are there to be harvested. They're planted to be harvested. That's why it's called a plantation. We've heard recently about redeveloping Douglas Promenade. It goes on, doesn't it? Remodelling the prom, taking the parking away. In particular, the sunken gardens and the green space up Queen's Promenade towards the Empress Hotel. The leader of Douglas Council says he is thrilled that the scheme's now been granted planning permission. It's suspected to cost £1.4 million and will see a new play area and skate park installed in the Marine Gardens, whilst further along, new seating and a beach shower will be built. Councillor Devon Watson believes it's important for Douglas City Council to invest resources into making sure the area's high quality and protected from storms and high tides.
Absolutely thrilled, and I'm thrilled for the committee and the officers who've done all this work, but I'm also pleased for the more than 600 people who consulted and helped form and shape these plans. As a council, we're really keen to have people involved in the construction and development of infrastructure. So this is a win for all of the people who contributed and helped make this happen. Raising a family in Douglas is ruinously expensive, or anywhere on the island, and being a young parent can be hard, and people desperately need spaces where they can bring their kids, where they can have a good time as a family without the expectation of being charged directly. So this is going to be a win, and hopefully by the end of this administration, we have some really good facilities that people are really proud to use.
A lot of residents will be quite overwhelmed by the fact it's going to cost £1.4 million. Mm. So would you be able to explain why it's going to cost this amount of money to develop?
Yeah, this cost is going to be spread over 2 or 3 decades. I think it's very easy to sort of focus on the cost of things, but also sometimes neglect the value of things. I mean, really decent play equipment does cost a decent amount of money, but we're also going to be going out to tender to get that best value for money over the long period of time. We also have to make sure that this equipment is safe, that it is resistant to sea pressures, resistant to storms, and that does mean that you have to invest a lot more in the area. This is also the gateway and the entrance toward the city. So it's really important that we invest those resources into making sure that this is a decent, high quality product. But assuming everything goes to schedule, hopefully this work is constructed and done sometime in 2027.
Any thoughts on this? If you want more information on it, you can see the image at manxradio.com. That was our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper, speaking to the Douglas City Council leader, Councillor Devon Watson. Jim said, well, why has DCC got money to ruin the much-loved sunken gardens, but no money for general maintenance, like painting and repairs of railings, and none for the trams to run the rest of the way to the sea terminal? We have approval and obligations to do these things. I'm sure Mr. Watson will point out that the trams are the DOI's responsibility. But point taken about the railings. But you have to start somewhere. And it seems with £1.4 million, that's where they're starting. Did the people's representatives get told how much the Liverpool Ferry Terminal development has cost? No. And not yet. Apparently, the Treasury Minister said it wasn't appropriate because they're still going through negotiations. Somebody's arguing about it, aren't they? Somebody on one half is arguing about the other half. So we'll find out eventually, and it will come out. Echo the thoughts about the message of the Southern 100, a far better event than the TT in every aspect. More and more people are coming from the Southern 100 now instead of the TT, says 95. Well, the TT is enormous, let's face it. And the TT does get 2 weeks of television coverage. But anyway, point taken. Did the Treasury Minister's bill to Timwell stop the EPA for self-employed workers? Was that passed? We'll find out for you, Barry. And regarding the monkey puzzle tree, can't some seed be taken from it and then just cut the tree down and give the wood to the artists who carve things, says Victoria. The DOI apparently is refusing to allow volunteer groups to go and maintain footpaths on, as government won't take the liability. They aren't insured or trained to do so. We're talking about getting volunteer people to go and do the footpath. Many people will do this. If you knew you could, then I'm sure groups would get together and go and tackle the footpaths, take the strimmers and the shears out and what have you and clear that. But DOI won't allow it. Not insured, not trained. How much training do you have to clear a path? Oh, the news about the Manxman. Wilf called in the other day and said, why doesn't the Manxman go to Dublin? Is it because she doesn't have lifeboats? Well, the Manxman, Dean who emailed me in. Dean said, the Manxman doesn't operate to Dublin as vessels with her type of life rafts can't travel more than a certain distance away from land. And going to Dublin would exceed that as it's further from land than the other three routes. But the company has Mananan and the Ben McCree, which can go to Dublin. So basically the Manxman will be too far out at sea with that type of life raft, the slidey down inflatable thing, because obviously she's not that far from land when she's going from here to Belfast or here to Liverpool or to Heysham, but Dublin is a bit too far. So as it stands at the moment, the Manxman couldn't. Whether or not they'd want her there, we don't know. You never know. Julian's here. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, we're well. It's a lovely day, isn't it?
It is. It's nice, isn't it? I have to enjoy this lovely weather. Just a couple of points. Michael's tree situation just shows how defer. I don't know. Maybe it's lack of qualifications in certain areas there where the. I don't know. It seems strange that somebody's house is getting broken up for the sake of a tree. As you say, you could reseed it. Somebody else texted in mentioning about if you have a plantation. And harvesting it. The only thing is, which I think people are beginning to forget, is that Erie Stain was planted over 70 years ago. So it's too late because the usual rule of thumb is you have to see how it goes and take them down within 30 years. So what you've got now is it's naturally rewilded itself. So at the moment, you've got Sitka spruce, lodgepole pine, native rowan trees and willows. And because time's gone on, and it's very quiet up there, so you haven't had much disturbances. I know I've got some friends who like to go bicycling up there and stuff, and you see a few people walking, but it's very quiet. So it's not got trodden on much. So you've got sphagnum mosses, you've got ferns, you've got lichens, you've got a diverse fauna of birds, including birds of prey, fungi, invertebrates. You've got little ponds there where, you know, you're getting dragonflies and mayflies up there. Eddie mentioned yesterday about the number of trees. The rule of thumb is somewhere between 800 to 1,000 trees an acre, and it's 183 acres. So you're looking at somewhere between about 146 and 183,000 trees up there.
800 an acre?
800 to 1,000 an acre based on those type of trees.
Wow. And is so it never, has Iristane never been harvested, ever?
No, but they're out of time now, I think, because it's become its own ecosystem. And I've been up there many times, and it's almost like Avatar up there. You've got these amazing, it's almost like a sea of mosses crawling over the bottom of the trees and going on. And when you walk on it, it's almost like you're on a bouncy castle. So you've got 70 years of growth, and then underneath there, you've got all those understories and microbial life and fungal corridors and networks and the wildlife itself, you know. I mean, it's not for nothing that there's loads of different kinds of raptors that are flying around there, because there's so much nature going on. And it's, by its nature up there, it's not easy to get to for most people. You know, you're going up the lane there, there's not really much parking, so it's been left quiet to basically rewild itself. So from that point of view, it makes little sense, because you're not going to do anything other than just destroy an ecologically sound place then. You know, you're going to all the voles, mice, shrews. Eddie's mentioned it many times. What are you going to do with all that water? Because the natural attenuation, you know, those sphagnum moss, they can absorb a huge amount of water. So you're going to release all that when you start digging down and putting concrete bases in for these for Carevi Wind Farm. And it seems also that DEFA I've forgotten the name of them now, Wardle Armstrong, nobody seems to be looking at the turbulence aspect of the fact that, normally speaking, whenever you see these wind farms, they're perched on top of a hillside to try and get what they call laminar airflow. So nice and smooth, which is why you get more electricity out of them at sea, because there's no rising hills or walls or anything in the way. But where they're deciding to put it is below Cronk Niari Lay, which is 437 metres tall. And you've also got the stacks out to the west, where you've got that S-bend, where you've got that valley where you can walk out and see those amazing cliffs, you know, where it drops away.
Yeah.
So you're going to end up with sort of at least two sets of the prevailing wind are going to be all over the place. And you know what it's like. If you're on an aircraft, you want smooth air. You don't want the wind getting flexed and, you know, dropping, you know, like the aircraft do when you get this non-laminar flow.
Well, presumably they know all about this. Presumably Wardell Armstrong, they've been in the business a wee while, so they'll know about this, surely, won't they?
Well, it reminds me of a saying from a writer called Upton Sinclair, who once said, it's difficult to get somebody to understand when their wages are that they shouldn't understand. So, you know, you've got to wonder. I mean, when you look at it, it's below a big hillside. You've got a huge valley there that's going to cause massive tunnel effects, which you don't want, because, you know, every time the wind blows, it's either going to overspin or it's going to drop away. You've not got a nice, smooth airflow. Yeah. And on top of that, you've got a 70-year-old, self-developed, self-rewilding wonderland up there. And I just wonder if DEFA has actually ever been up there and gone and had a look and seen all of the amazing birds and everything that's up there. I mean, okay, you know, it's not easy to get to, though, is it? So Okay. Maybe they just haven't actually just gone up there and had a look for themselves and gone, right, you know what? Maybe it's not a good idea.
Julian, thanks for making that point today. It's good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
16 minutes to one. So is it true then? Perhaps you know about this, that Iristane has never been harvested. The Iristane plantation wasn't really a plantation because it's not been harvested. Anyway, it's Liz with us now. Hi, Liz.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Liz.
You were talking about parks earlier on and what they've got and what... Well, I just live not very far from Derby Square Park, and there is absolutely, apart from a few benches, there's nothing in it, nothing for children, no swings, no seesaws, nothing that children can play on. And here now, some younger families have moved in various places around here. So it would be nice for them to have somewhere to go.
You would have thought, wouldn't you? I mean, that's a big square, isn't it, Derby Square?
Yeah, and I've been here for 28 years, and there's been nothing in it at all.
No, I mean, that's it. There are a few, as you say, there are half a dozen benches, and that's about it.
This is it. I think there's about four in the middle, and that's it, really, around the ring in the middle.
Yeah,
and I think, yeah, there might be a couple around the sides as well. Yeah, there are, actually. Yes, this way. Yeah. But there again, you have Ramsey, which is not a very big place, and this is supposed to be the capital of the island, you know. In Ramsey, they've got places for elderly people, things that you can exercise on, which is a very good idea, you know, for keeping the older generation fit like myself.
Yeah, you're quite right. So, around the Murrock Park, they've got some exercise stuff, haven't they?
Oh, Jesus, they've got loads, haven't they? They've got loads for children and loads for people for exercise.
So that will be your message to Douglas City Council, then. Get more play stuff into Derby Square.
Okay, no problem.
What would you like for exercise for older people, shall we say? What machines would you like?
Those things you stand on and you put your feet back and forward, you hold on to the handles and you go back and forward to exercise your legs.
Yeah.
And I just can't remember the ones that's up in Ramsey, but I've been up in Ramsey and I've had a go on them and they're very good.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today, Liz.
That was terrible about the steam packer charging people £100 just to change their boat for a few hours.
Sounds strange, doesn't it?
It is. Since the team packet's been taken over by the Isleman government, the fares have gone through the roof. So they have.
Okay.
Really, really bad.
Thanks, Liz. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. It's 13 minutes before one, and Malcolm's on now. Hi, Malcolm.
Oh, hello, Andy. I'd just like to add my comments to a caller you had on last week, but I couldn't get back quick enough, who had problems sending either cards or gifts to his grandchildren in Southern Ireland.
Yeah.
Problems with mail delivery. And I'd like to say I've had exactly the same problem. Not that I've got relations there, but I ordered one of those ancestry things for DNA, which you have to send to Southern Ireland. And this was last year. And last year in 2024, in January, I sent this off. My brother had already done it. He'd got his back okay. And I heard nothing for a long, long time. And I contacted Ancestry, asked them, had they received my parcel of DNA? It's in a little box. You spit into a tube, put it in the box, and they give you a self-addressed box to send it back to them.
Yeah.
So, heard nothing. They claimed they hadn't received it. Anyway, would you believe, I thought, well, goodness knows what's happened here. So I went to the post office and I filled in a claim form for the cost of what it was, $69.99, and said that this is lost in the post. I'd like to claim some money back, please. Well, A, I've heard nothing back from the post office, and that was 18 months ago now, nothing at all. So I sent a handwritten letter to customer services, and I got nothing back from that either. And then in October of 2024, last year, I got my DNA parcel back in the post. And I thought, what on earth is this? And I looked at it, and it had my address changed and my signature forged. It definitely wasn't my signature. And sent back to me and said the customs had denied it. So I went to the Ramsey post office and they said, oh, we've had problems with sending stuff to Southern Ireland. Customs, for some reason, sometimes randomly send stuff back. Well, this had taken 10 months. Anyway, I contacted Ancestry and told them about this, and they very kindly said, oh, we'll send you another one free of charge since you've already sent one. And I'd heard nothing back from the post office, never got any money back or anything. So they sent me another one. I filled in the next one. And in, January of this year, or February was it, I sent it off again. And that's disappeared into the ether. Nothing's happened. Never heard from it. Nothing at all. Southern Ireland customs are being very snotty about things by the look of it. And B, the Isle of Man post office customer services is a complete waste of time because they don't do anything. Not replied, not anything. I sent a claim form and then a handwritten letter. Nothing. No replies at all. So I've just given up on it now. So I put it down to experience.
When you spoke to them at Ramsey Post Office, what did they say?
They were very sorry. They said, we're really apologetic about that. I'll give you this claim form to send in to customer services in Douglas. And also, they took a picture of the thing with my forged signature, sent that to customer services, to their boss in Douglas. I don't know his name or her name. And I've heard nothing back at all from them. And I've been into the post office a couple of times, spoke to the very kind lady who was helping me in there, and she said, I'm sorry, I don't know why they haven't replied.
This should be routine, Malcolm. This shouldn't be any sort of obstacle.
There shouldn't be, should there? But what's happened? Goodness knows. No idea. No idea.
Okay.
They just haven't operated as they should do, obviously.
All right, Malcolm, we appreciate that, and thanks for sharing that story. It's obviously becoming quite commonplace, I think.
Yes, I think it is. Well, I wanted to back up that chap who seemed to think he was the only one it was happening to, but it's not. And the post office told me it wasn't only a couple of people either. Other people had had problems with the customs in Southern Ireland because they're in the EU and we aren't. It seems to be they randomly just send stuff back.
Okay. All right. Malcolm, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
8 minutes before one. If you've had problems sending parcels or getting parcels from Southern Ireland, do get in touch. And surely this is something that has to be ironed out between either our customs and excise and the Isle of Man Post and the Revenue Commissioners in Dublin. Surely it's not beyond the wit of the two organisations to get together and say, what's the problem with sending stuff from the Isle of Man to the Irish Republic? Can't be that difficult, can it? I mean, I understand sending parcels through the post will obviously be flagged up, and sometimes people choose to send illicit drugs through the post. Understand that, but surely they've got a method of detecting. Surely. What happens at Christmas time when people are sending presents to and fro? Anyway, if you've had an issue with this, please do get in touch. John on the Queen's Pier again, 557. Regrettably, the berthing end section was demolished, presumably on the order of the government. Hopefully it can be reinstated by the help of donations, possibly a large benefactor. Ah, the mythical large benefactor, John. It's a long time since the steam packet berthed at the end of Ramsey Pier. Whether or not it would mean the reintroduction of our Drossen boats anymore, you don't know, dear. Perhaps that ship has literally sailed.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
From our castles to our cottages, our museums, and the great Laxey Wheel. You'll find hidden treasures around every corner when you visit a Manx National Heritage site. Fill your summer making treasured memories with Manx National Heritage. Sites now open every day. By visiting, you help protect our treasured island for generations to come. Plan your visit today at manxnationalheritage.im.
Tony Christie's Farewell Tour is coming to the Gaiety Theatre on 24th of July. Sing along to unforgettable classics like Maria and Avenues and Alleyways for one final magical night. Don't miss this chance to celebrate a legendary career. Tickets are available at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Tony Christie, The Great Farewell, 24th of July at the Gaiety Theatre.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Imagine you are spending time
in a rainforest retreat.
Brought to you by The Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
You acknowledge the tightness releasing as the warmth of the light brings you back to self-care.
Tropical Paradise Retreat, the latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now as a podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Baz, says Andy, Castletown Square should have parking from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Monday to Friday all year round. Using health and safety as an excuse to have no parking's crazy, especially when it's more dangerous having people crossing a busy highway. The rise and fall bollards, I heard, cost £100,000 and the commissioners were told they would never work. Tim will end this week. This is Andy on 667. Tim will end this week for the summer break. Next schedule sitting 21st to 23rd of October. Any ideas what gets done during that period? Well, they say a lot. Any politician will tell you that a lot gets done. It's just that there's no sitting of Tim will. I'm not speaking on their behalf, by the way. I moved here in the early 1980s, says this correspondent.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
And what a decline I've seen in the care of the Isle of Man and our communities. Local small businesses trodden down to the ground by the Big Ten. The government's allowed our beautiful realm to be stripped of its heritage, self-sufficiency. So what's going to happen? The turbines, the endless list of government failings to the people. Have a good day, says Cece. Well, you have a good day yourself, Cece. Thanks for that. We're open line tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Next Tuesday, your Chief Minister, the Heir Michael MHK, Alfred Cannon, is on Man in Line. If you've got a question you'd like to put to Mr. Cannon, either take your chances on Tuesday or email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682 604. WINT.